Welcome to the Athletes in Action podcast.
We are a sports ministry serving athletes at the University of Missouri.
Join us weekly for conversations about faith and sport.
Tonight, I want to start by just explaining like how I got to Mizzou. After high school, I attended a small junior college in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, with like many of my like high school rivals as my teammates. So it was just familiar faces over and over again, every single day, learning to love people that I hated in high school. During my freshman year, we won our regional tournament, the following district game, and then for the first time in program history, we attended the World Series, sorry. It was such a great year, and we had a lot of potential for the next year, so of course, like, you always want to turn to your winning team. I had no intentions of leaving, and I wrote down five of my like most desirable schools to attend. I prayed about them, and I asked God that if I needed to go somewhere, that He would provide that way, and that I wouldn't have to put much effort into it, and that He would show me where to go. As you all can see, He led me here. I got hurt during the World Series my freshman year, and I ended up having to have surgery on my ankle. It put me out for about 5 months. So I was like, there's no way I'm going anywhere. Like, no one's gonna want me, I'm hurt. Well, about in the midway of my recovery, around the end of July, one of our assistant coaches here contacted my head coach at my junior college and said, hey, look, we're interested in summer, and like, when can we get a hold of her? And so I was like, oh my goodness. As soon as I read the email, I just, tears, because I knew that it was God's doing. So long story short, I ended up having to enroll, get all my classes and everything in about 3 weeks. Very stressful, very, very confusing. So, slide one. I'm gonna start by putting this thought into your head, am I living an empty life? I feel like a lot of times we just get so consumed in like worldly things that we kind of lose track of where we're going. So while I'm talking, just think about this. I began playing upwards basketball, if any of you know what that is. It's an affiliation through the church that brings kids to know Jesus through sports. I grew up in a very Christian home. We were very involved with the church, and this is something that I really loved because my whole family just loves sports. So throughout upwards, it just like really opened my eyes to seeing Jesus, and opened up our community, and just really allowed me to like bond within my fellow Christian like athletes and some of the people that I went to church with. And our family was very involved with everyone that was like within upwards. But then when I was in seventh grade, my mom and my stepdad got a divorce, and we moved back to my mom's hometown, Van Buren, Missouri. It's a very, very small town. No one knows where it's at. And it was quite a transfer, because going to a very large church that had three times in attendance as my new town did, it was just very hard to wrap my head around people just being like together, because there were so many different ideas in the culture of Van Buren. So we started attending church there, and soon we stopped going. Because it never felt like home. And I'm sure some of you have felt like you don't belong there, and like a church you're attending or in a small group that you're in, it just doesn't feel like Jesus is there with you. And that's something that I went through. And so between that and just a busy schedule with three kids in all sports, it was just almost impossible for us to go every Sunday. And it comes to slide two, which is Ecclesiastes 2:11. And I'll read it. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had told to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. I just love this verse so much, because I feel, again, like we just get caught up in worldly things so often. And this just kind of brings that to our attention. Like, how are we chasing something that has no substance when there's something right here that has more substance than like we could ever imagine? So during high school, I started on the varsity basketball and softball teams, and I got consumed with the idea that people liked me better for being a great athlete than being a better person. I left Jesus on the back burner. I worried more about if I was going to be starting, how many friends I would have because I played on like the varsity team, and just how people viewed me in an athletic stand. And I didn't realize that I needed to strengthen my maturity and my faith. And I didn't think that I had the time or commitment to do so. And I thought that I could just put it off. And I was like, you know, I can do that when I graduate high school. I can do it when I graduate college. Like, I have my whole life to find Jesus. I can just worry about sports right now. And was I wrong? I wanted to be the meanest, toughest, and most dreaded player on any surface of field, court, anything. I wanted people to dread playing me. I just wanted to be the best athlete that I could be, and that's all I wanted to be. I didn't really care how I was off the court or how people viewed me as like their friend. And I was a faker, and I didn't realize it because I was more concerned with how the world viewed me rather than how God loves me. And I just want to read that again. I was more consumed with how the world viewed me rather than how God loved me. Which takes us to slide 3. Who you are as a person matters more than what you accomplish. I think that after my high school career, this has just really stuck out to me. I would much rather be a better person now than being a better athlete. You're not going to be able to play sports your whole life, but you are going to be a person your whole life. So I just think that keeping that in mind is just something that's very helpful to myself. So my senior year of high school, I pursued a relationship that I thought would continue the rest of my life. I invested myself into something that was not worth any substance. I gave everything to that relationship, and I allowed it to like hurt me in the end. So I gave the power to the thing that would hurt me the most. In the fall semester of my freshman year of college, that relationship ended, and I thought my heart was literally shattering. I neglected to face my fears and put God at the foresight of things, so it just continued to hurt me more and more. So then, my freshman year, I played softball at Three Rivers in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And John 1, 4, and 5 say, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has no overcome to it." This, my freshman year of college, this is like just the verse that I had to look to constantly. I met my best friend, which I introduced to you on the first slide, Kristen. When I met her, she introduced herself to me as, "Hi, I'm Kristen, I'm a Jesus lover." And I was like, oh my God, this girl's weird. And soon we became like really, really close friends. And as I was going through my breakup, she taught me how to put myself into the situation where God could love me for me. And I didn't have to worry about what other people thought. She loved me with everything that she had. She loved God with everything that she had. And she didn't care what other people thought about her. She shared her light, and she did not care who saw it. And she didn't care who tried to put it out. It was just gonna always keep burning because she loved the Lord. She was my safe place to where I didn't feel like I was worthless in the like eyes of the Lord. She just really boosted my spiritual faith and growing in that sense. But I was too consumed with mourning that it turned into moaning, and it became toxic to my relationship with Christ. But I found myself wanting to become more like Kristen because she always had the energy to do everything that I thought was just, I have the time, I have the rest of my life to do so. So I soon found myself looking into the same light that Kristen was. And which brings us to slide 6. You are the best Christian that someone knows. So it doesn't matter if you think that you're not worthy to share God's love with someone, you are. And she didn't think that she was worthy enough to share that with me, but she became like my biggest idol within like the first year of my true faith. And that's just, I looked up to her in every single aspect of life. So you never know who's watching, and you never know who you're going to impact. So just be bold and take that extra step that you feel in your gut. So there are three main things that I want you guys to take away from tonight. One, you can't just snap your fingers and expect to be a great Christian. Everything takes time. The Bible wasn't written in a day, and you're not going to be written in however long you think this trial is going to last. So many times I wish that God magically would just snap his fingers and boom, you're like the best Christian, you never sin, which is never going to happen. But I just thought that was going to be how it happened. But I first, I guess, had the realization that that wasn't going to happen when I understood that his love through me started with the people around me. So which leads to number two, fellowship with those around us is part of our relationship with God. So we have to have the people around us in order to grow ourselves, because you can't just become a great athlete by yourself. You have to have people around you. You have to have coaches. You have to have other athletes pushing you. And the same goes with our relationship with God. You can't just be you and him in a one-way street. You have to branch out and have other people help you grow. So number three, my walk with faith is continuous. It doesn't just stop. You don't just get to a certain point and just stop. There's no plateau for being a good Christian. You must live your life every day because it holds the new potential to put another stone in your step, in your walkway towards having a mature relationship with God. So some days you feel like you're taking a step back on that walkway, but God loves you no matter which stepping stone you're on. So don't give up. Thank you.